Memphis. Flynn Broadcasting Stations.
Oh, yeah.
Joining the guys every Friday is college football historian and Vegas legend Bruce Marshall from Vegas Insiders, CBS Sports, and his own website, BamSports.net. With over 30 years on Memphis radio, with handicapping and sports talk, here's Bruce Marshall with Bryant and Brett.
Bruce Marshall joins us now on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Talk some wagering from Vegas Insider, CBS Sports, and BamSports.net. Bruce, thanks so much for joining us. Plenty to get into: NBA action, Major League Baseball. We've got to start with the NFL draft last night in Detroit. What did you think about everything that went down in the first round?
Well, I'll tell you, I had hit draft overload several weeks ago watching all these shows and listening to them all. I mean, the draft holds a special thing for me too, because this is when I sort of first got started in this whole business back in 1980, 81. I started doing this sort of stuff and following the draft. That's right when ESPN started. I mean, 80 is a few months old. That was like their first major event they had, when back when people couldn't get ESPN. But so it's near and dear. But I think they've overdone it, and I especially don't like all the pre-draft guys proposing trades and things and writing stories based on trades that never happened. What we saw last night, though, I thought was just, I sort of like this herd sheep mentality that some of the NFL has, where they make a run on certain players. I mean, 14 offensive guys right off the bat, that's something's different here. And I know it's just, that's maybe the way football is now, and they want, everything's about offense and betting props and things like that. But the better value, I think, in the first round came later when some of the better defensive guys got picked. I will say this about the quarterbacks. I mean, and I'm getting tired of all the pundits again talking about what a great pick this was and what, we don't know. We're not going to judge this stuff for 3 or 4 or 5 years. I don't even know if Caleb Williams is a great pick, to tell you the truth. I think he's a little spoiled, you know, and he was too much of like a celebrity, and I don't think, I know the USC players were very happy he wasn't there in the bowl game against Louisville down in San Diego, and they were really fired up, and it's mostly because he wasn't there and they were tired of all the Caleb stuff. I'm not sure he's going to be all they say he's going to be. The Bears had some weapons last year too for Fields. They loved him a couple of years ago. I think the guy, if these quarterbacks who might work in the first round, to me, I like Jaden Daniels the most. As long as he doesn't pretend he's Earl Campbell like Richardson did last year. He's not as big as Richardson, so he can run. You don't want to try to run over people. But I think he could have the sort of impact that Stroud did in Houston. I'm not sure about any of those other first-round quarterbacks. I'm definitely not sure about Drake May. I saw him enough in North Carolina not win big games to wonder about him. McCarthy, maybe, though I don't know. You know, he wasn't utilized all that much by Harbaugh. Penix, I like. I don't like what Atlanta did here, though. I think if you're going to go out and get a free agent quarterback and spend that sort of money on Cousins, you're in win-now mode. And that means in your first-round pick, get somebody that can help you right now. Penix is a down-the-road pick. And so I didn't like the fact Atlanta took him. I don't dislike Penix. I think he might be pretty good. Bo Nix, we'll see about. One other thing about Nix, and I heard how many – guys, did we hear talking, pundits, and even the Denver, I do some stuff in Denver too, about how much he supposedly liked Drew Brees' characteristics and all that for in the Peyton connection. And remember, when Brees went to the Saints, he had already been in the NFL 5 years, started 3 years plus half of another season for San Diego. He was an experienced NFL quarterback by the time Peyton got to him. I know Nix is an experienced college quarterback, but it's not, I mean, that's not a direct correlation to Brees when Sean Payton got a hold of him back 18, 19 years ago. So, you know, some of the analysis from the pundits, you know, got a little bit too much for me. And I turned it off about midway through the first round and turned on the NBA instead. There you go.
Bruce Marshall with us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. I love it, Bruce. That first round, it produced six quarterbacks, famously 1983. Produced six. Three went to the Hall of Fame, and Ken O'Brien was pretty good. Certainly not a Hall of Famer. Tony Eason played in a Super Bowl. Todd Blackledge didn't have a great NFL career, went on to become a great announcer. Do you think there are three Hall of Famers out of Williams, Daniels, May, Penix, McCarthy, and Nix?
No. I don't know if
you think there's one.
I don't know that there's one in there. And that would be very good if there's one.
That's right. But,
looking around the league right now and some of the guys who are even starting, I mean, here's something. I was doing some things with some Denver guys, and we're looking back, and Memphis people will remember this. When Paxton Lynch came out for the 2016 draft, he was still sitting there late first round. Denver traded up to get him ahead of Dallas, and they're both trying to make a deal with Seattle, apparently. And Jerry wanted Lynch, I think. But Denver wanted him, too, and they got a little better package to Seattle and with the draft picks. And so Denver got the pick, took Lynch. A couple rounds later, or the fourth round, I think, that's when Jerry got Dak. Everything could have changed there based upon what Seattle did in the trade with Denver. And Jerry could have had Paxton Lynch as his quarterback, and it might not have worked the last few years as it did for Dak. See, that's what I'm talking about. This is so inexact,
sure,
and that's why it's very folly to start analyzing this stuff too much, good pick, bad pick. I just don't want to go there with some of these as far as how the players are going to perform. But I will leave room to question what Atlanta did, just an overall philosophy there. Like I said, you spend a lot of money on the top free agent quarterback and win now, and you go out and draft his successor in the first round. That doesn't that's not congruous. I mean, that doesn't correlate to me. So we'll see how this works for the Falcons.
Bruce, you have a lot of friends in Baton Rouge. You do regular radio there with friends of ours. Who, from this point on, who wins more? Who goes deeper in playoffs, Joe Burrow or Jaden Daniels?
Well, Burrow's got a little head start because the Bengals are better. But Washington's got a lot of ground to make up here. They're just bringing in a new coach. I don't know about the Quinn hire. We'll see. So because Burrow's got a little head start right now, maybe him, but I mean, the Bengals, when Burrow got there, were worse off than Washington is now. And then they grew.
Great point.
The question I got with Burrow is just keeping healthy. I mean, he's missed, you know,
a lot of time.
Well, you know, two seasons he got hurt. He's been in the league 4 years. And he's been hurt seriously two of the seasons. So he's got to stay healthy. So Daniels, I think, could be very good. But Burrow's already there. It's just a matter of him staying healthy. He's got a pretty good team around him. I don't know the team that Daniels has. They're not that good right now. We'll see how that works.
Bruce, you mentioned those drafts of yesteryear when ESPN was in its infancy, and it had, you know, had Dr. Z, had Paul Zimmerman prominently on there, and other figures. Chris Berman was on there, and it felt like you were in a fantasy football draft, like with your buddies. It was very campy. I go back to 1974, and I think about this draft class for Chuck Knoll and the famous scout with the Steelers, Bill Nunn. In 1974, they had five Hall of Fame players. Round one, pick 21, Lynn Swann. Round two, pick 46, Jack Lambert. Round four, pick 82, John Stallworth. Round five, pick 125, Mike Webster. They all go to the Hall of Fame. And, oh, by the way, undrafted free agent Donnie Shell goes to the Hall of Fame, too. That's making hay while the sun was shining, wasn't it?
That is making hay while the sun was shining. Absolutely. I don't think we'll ever see, you know, a draft like that. And I think, there were still 17 rounds then, and then they cut it to 12, and then they cut it down to 7. But we can remember, you know, this being 17 rounds and doing it all in one day. I mean, they would start. And what I used to do.
Pete Rozelle, good for about four packs that day.
Yes. That's right.
Burning heaters on TV, Brian.
Good Lord.
Yes, and they'd have it in New York at one of the, you know, at the, one of the hotels there. And then the first ESPN one they did in 1980, Jim Simpson was actually like their host because he was the first like marquee guy that they brought in. But I can remember, I mean, like, you know, early 70s, you know, this draft was held in January. For a long time.
Yeah.
And coming home to get the evening newspaper, it would have been the LA Herald Examiner, to find out what happened. Then I started to listen to the every half hour sports reports on the news talk radio KNX in LA to get the reports. But the draft used to take place a lot sooner after the season. And you go back, into the 60s, when especially when the leagues were still warring. I mean, they would draft before the season ended. They'd draft in December. So it's changed a lot. Once they merged, then they started doing it in January after the season. But it stayed in January, Brett, for a long time. And yeah, then they finally moved back to this April.
Bruce, help me with this. I know Sonny Werblin with the Jets was on the field after Alabama lost to Texas to have Namath sign on the field. Heartbroken, too, after a crushing loss. He signs with the Jets. And I think Lance Allworth was signed on the field at the Cotton Bowl after Arkansas had lost a Cotton Bowl by the chart by Baron Hilton.
Wow. You are correct. And they would do that, Brett. You know, like I said, the drafts were like in December then, if not November sometimes, in December. Mike Garrett, when he came out after they won the Heisman Trophy for SC, was signed on the field at the end of the East-West Shrine Game in San Francisco.
Wow.
And that was, you know, I mean, before, you know, the even, you know, the,
before they got cold feet, here, signed.
Before they got cold feet, yeah, he was there. So that's they used to do it that way, and then it started to get some order after 67 would have been the first year they had a common draft. And that was, like I said, they did it in January for many years. And then now this April stuff was a later development.
Wow. Crazy to even think about. Talking to Bruce Marshall from Vegas Insider, CBS Sports, and BAMSports.net. Well, I know a lot of eyes were on the NFL draft last night, but we do have the NBA playoffs, and we've already got players out on the court as they're about to go in about 15 minutes, this first game between the Bucks and the Pacers on ESPN. Is there anything you like in this first game? I'm trying to give myself enough time to get it in before the game starts. Anything you like with Bucks and Pacers right now? Pacers are a 6.5-point favorite.
Well, Brian, yeah, this number's moved up a little bit. Yeah. It looks like Giannis isn't going to play. We'll see about Middleton. And normally, this zigzag has been working pretty good in the playoffs. It worked in this series game, too. But I'm going to buck the zigzag here, buck the Bucks. I'm going to take I'm going to recommend Indiana here because I think the matchups here are just very difficult. Even if Giannis somehow got on the floor, Indiana beat them 4 to 5 times this year with Giannis there. The Bucks don't seem to have an answer for Pascal Siakam. Dame had a great first half in game one. Since then, not so much. Indiana is a little erratic, though. There's a little bipolar about them. But here's a stat I think is very interesting. Of their last 16 wins, 15 of them have been by 9 points or more. Most of the wins by a lot more. So when they win, they usually handle point spreads like this. So I think it's a very scary team right now. And that was a really nice job with Siakam. They got Halliburton healthy again. And Miles Turner, Rick Carlisle, they have some bad games once in a while. I don't think it's going to happen that way tonight. I look for the Pacers to win this game handily and win the series. By the way, Bucks 18-20 since Doc Rivers took over.
Yikes.
How about that?
Do the Lakers go through the full teardown this offseason?
Boy, good question, Brent. It all depends on what LeBron wants to do. If he wants to run it back for one more year, this thing with Bronny and him, I think he knows that's not realistic to force a team to draft his son now, and he'd like to do that. It all sort of depends upon him. He could probably run it back for another year, and they could give this thing another shot. The problem they've had, we might have talked about this, guys, they got a lot of one-dimensional players on the bench. If D'Angelo Russell was on the bench, one of the starters, if he's not shooting, I mean, he doesn't help them on the defensive end. He can actually hurt them. And they have moved out guys like Kuzma, who would have been their best three-point shooter, and KCP, who's now doing this for Denver, really good defensive guard. Those are some under-the-radar bad moves that Rob Pelinka made as the GM the last couple of years. So, I don't know what they do. They're just going to kind of wait on LeBron. My gut feeling is they'll try to run it back 1 year and try to tweak it a little bit in free agency. But this, you know, LeBron's pushing 40 now. So, I mean, maybe they squeeze one more year. at some point they're going to have to reboot this. I'm just not sure it's going to happen after this season. And it's going to end pretty quick. It'll end this weekend because I don't think they can beat Denver. They certainly haven't the last, 11 meetings.
Yeah,
and LeBron went from the other night blaming the referees and kind of cursing everybody out to last night of, well, you know, guys, you know, don't make a big deal out of it. It's just basketball. It's no big deal. Some teams win. Some teams lose. Fans don't like hearing that, Bruce.
No,
I mean, their body language didn't look good. You just could kind of see once Denver started to take control of that game, you know, they did it. I think, you know, some of these series, and we might see this with the Pelicans, too, and with Oak City, you got one shot to go out there on the road to steal one. The Lakers had their shot in Game 2, sort of like last year. I mean, they played the Nuggets really tough in Game 2. That was the one they needed to steal. The Pelicans needed to steal that first one in Oak City. You miss your opportunity there like the Lakers did in Game 2. I mean, you only get one shot to really get into a series if you're an underdog, and I think both the Lakers and the Pelicans, unfortunately, sort of missed their chance.
Yeah. Later tonight, we have Clippers and Mavericks. It's been a fun series to watch. Clippers win the first one without Kawhi Leonard out there. Last game, Mavericks get a big win with Luka knocking down some big-time shots late in the game. What have you thought of this series, and what do you like in this one tonight?
Brian, I kind of like the Clippers here tonight. Just I'm thinking the zigzag might work in this series, and like you said, that is a little odd that they won without Kawhi and they lost with him. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to play tonight. He's going to show up on the injury report every game now, but until he gets re-hurt, he's probably going to play. But I mean, this sort of, I think it's going to be a tight series. You're getting 4.5 or so at the Clippers. I've seen some fives out there. What bothers me about Dallas, if you look at the box scores here, I know Luka and Kyrie are their two big guns, but they are scoring. I mean, Game 2, they're more than 60% of their points came from those two guys. They need some other score to kind of step up. They need a third, more consistent third scoring threat. It's always going to be those two as the main two. But you are really asking a lot for those two to carry the mail. And I think the Clippers have a little bit more balance in their lineup, and they, with Russ and Paul George, and if Kawhi plays, they got a few more stoppers out there defensively. Dallas played good defense in Game 2 as well. So I kind of like the Clippers tonight, maybe under in this one too. It's up there, you know, 213, I think now. I think that's a little too high.
I like it. Bruce Marshall joined us from Vegas Insider, CBS Sports, and BAMSports.net. Major League Baseball, some of these teams getting really interesting, some fun weekend series. We've already got one game in the books today, Royals with an 8-0 win over the Tigers. It was 1-0 throughout most of that game, and then the Royals hang 7 in the top of the 9th. Anything you're keeping an eye on this weekend, any series that you really like tonight or this weekend?
Yeah.
Are you going against the White Sox?
No.
Yes, I am. I am going to do that. By the way, though, Seth Lugo pitching really well for Kansas City. He's turned into a nice addition for them. Yes, Brett, I am going against the White Sox. And here's the latest. They are on right now. They're 25 games into this season. So, you know, you got a sample size here. They are on a 20-win pace. They are on the pace that would put them at 20 and 142. Now, they should do better than that, but even bad teams in recent years, nobody started this slow. Of their last 19 losses, 16 of them have been more than one run. They are minus 85 in run differential on April 25, so it's the 26th today. I can never remember a team being that much negative before the end of April. I mean, that's staggering in just 25 games to be minus 85 in run differential. You know how hard that is? And the top three guys in the order were all betting under 200 this week in Minnesota when they got swept. They have injury problems, too. Luis Robert, one of the guys, hurt, and Moncada's been hurt. So they have a little bit of an excuse, but it's a bad team. Tonight, Tampa Bay, Elflin goes there. Elflin pitched very well his last couple starts for Tampa Bay. I'll do it on the run line. It's really prohibitive if you just do it on the straight money. But run line, like I said, it's been working against the White Sox. I'll do it with Tampa Bay now. When we start having to lay more than 150 on the run line against the White Sox, I'll pause a little bit. But as long as that's, you know, we've been laying much less than that, and we are tonight. I mean, we've even gotten some pluses on the run line going against the White Sox this week. Until they do something, that's my top recommendation every night.
I can't blame you. And this is the sport that Jerry Reinsdorf really cares about. And ironic that they're playing Tampa Bay this weekend because he once floated leaving the South Side for St. Petersburg, didn't he?
He sure did. Wow. I mean,
or Sarasota. Where did he threaten to go to?
No. It was Tampa. It was the Trop. Remember, they built the Trop early, and it was before they called it the Trop. They called it the Thunderdome, and that stadium was actually built in '87. So it was sitting there for 11 years mm-hmm. before the Rays got the expansion, and that stadium is responsible for the White Sox Stadium next to the old Comiskey. It's also responsible for the Giants getting a new park. And then Tampa Bay got an expansion franchise. That park has got a lot more interesting history at the Trop than you might think because it caused some of these teams. They used it as leverage. They're playing in Chicago tonight. Man, can you imagine being a White Sox fan and wanting to go out to these games right now? I can't.
No.
Can you imagine being in group sales in the sales department?
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you talk about a ship that is – That is a barge that is stuck in the river. That's the White Sox.
It sure is. Bruce, when I was talking about the AFL signees, I was right on Sonny Werblin. It was not the owner of the Chargers, Baron Hilton. It was Sid Gilman down on the field because 2 days in a row, Brian, here we go, with a Barry Switzer reference.
Oh,
Bruce, have you ever read the book about Barry Switzer, Bootlegger's Boy?
I have not. I should. I know Switzer grew up for a little bit when he was young in Long Beach, California, actually. I know he bounced around a little bit. But you're right.
Got to South Arkansas to cross it.
Yeah. Gilman was the general manager for the Chargers, too, so he did it. Baron Hilton actually owned the team in the early years, and Gilman was his head coach and GM. So, yeah, Gilman was the guy who signed Ballworth and those guys on the field.
I was friends with his son, and he played on that team with Lance Allworth, and Arkansas loses in the Cotton Bowl, Bryant, to Duke 7-6, and a heartbreaking loss. And he said, and Barry Switzer in this book says everybody's just crying their eyes out, all upset except for Lance Allworth, because he had just signed a $100,000 contract in 1961 with the Chargers.
That's funny.
There you go.
Wow, how about that? Well, it should be a fun weekend as we wrap up the draft and NBA playoffs continue to roll along and then Major League Baseball. But, Bruce, before we let you go, where can we find more of you?
Yeah, thanks. Check me out online, VegasInsider.com. We are really rolling these NBA playoffs. We swept the last two nights. We're on 8-1 the last three nights, 10-2 since Monday, 37-15. We're really rolling. Get my picks there. VegasInsider.com. Baseball is also on a nice roll, too. Only two losing nights the last 15.
Wow.
VegasInsider.com. Check me out. Also, CBS Sportsline, Sportsline.com. Once in a while up there on HQ, and once in a while up there at MajorWager.com.
Well, Bruce, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
Have a good weekend, boys. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
You got it. Next Friday, when we talk to Bruce Marshall, we'll be getting Kentucky Derby picks.
Oh, wow. Is that next weekend?
That is
Holy
next weekend.
Cow, I'm telling you.
Next weekend's first Saturday in May, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. I mean, when we get draft talk, baseball, NBA playoffs.
The Masters started. The Masters
right
start
that.
The down.
That is a great point.
It is the snowball becoming the avalanche.
I completely lose track of time and what month we're in, what week we're in. I mean, that's crazy.
This is our last Friday of August, after we get through with Tuesday.
Cow.
We're a third of the year in.
That's crazy. I can't even believe that.
Yeah, next week we'll be talking Kentucky Derby. Bruce Marshall was just our guest. He was on the Sissy's Law Cabin guest line. Sissy's Law Cabin, the official jeweler of the hometown Grizzlies, the hometown Tigers, that great new location. It's open at 4542 Poplar. Some places blow in and blow out overnight. Not Sissy's Law Cabin. They're part of the fabric of the community and supporters of all the local teams, a lot of local charities and other functions, Mid-South's largest selection of one-of-a-kind jewelry, engagement rings, wedding bands, necklaces, and earrings, 9,000-square-foot store in Laurelwood with expanded lines for Rolex, Cartier, diamonds, and much more. Since 1970, with all the great locations, Sissy's, they offer a selection of diamonds and estate jewelry and Fine Gifts, official jeweler of the Grizzlies and FedEx Forum with the floor seat lounge. We're ready to get back there next year. Unsurpassed value, exceptional service, expansive selection, and an extraordinary shopping experience, because life's too short for ordinary jewelry.
Well, let's go ahead and grab a break. I mentioned it earlier, but we're only a handful of minutes, probably 10 minutes or so from the tip-off between the Bucks and the Pacers. But we did have a lot of action last night. Some more interesting games tonight. So when we come back from our break, we're talking the NBA playoffs on Sports 56.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
I still can't get over the fact that we're only a couple minutes away from a playoff, not just a regular basketball game, a playoff basketball game.
Matinee style.
I love it. I don't know.
I do too.
I don't know really why they're doing it. I don't know if this is something they're just trying, but I am definitely all in favor for it. I'm a big fan of it. So that will get us started this afternoon, and then we've got two more games later in the day. All three of these games, a triple header on ESPN for these games. Like we mentioned, Pacers and Bucks about to tip off in just a couple of minutes. Clippers and Mavericks, 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN, and then Timberwolves and Suns, 9:30 on ESPN. I'm really intrigued with all three of these games, and really don't know how they'll go. These have been three series that have been really fun to watch.
Yeah, we've got three games tonight, four on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday is noon until about 11 o'clock Sunday night with the last game, the TNT game on Sunday night. Tomorrow we've got noon till about 10 o'clock, till about the 10 o'clock news, and that's not coincidental.
Right.
They're trying to drag that into their affiliates, and I don't blame them. It's really big business. Today, I like this matinee game to give us that Friday afternoon game. I wish we had more of it. I know everybody's not off by now, but most everybody's approaching being off by now.
Sure. We're getting close to it. You know, 5 o'clock is kind of the standard of
our work never ends, though, does it, Brian?
Well, yes, no. We are
Johnny,
we're here.
We're always here, aren't we?
That's right. But you know, sometimes 24
I think hours.
I was about to say, sometimes I think I live here. But no. So I like this, and you know, for people, you know, if people are still at work or they have to stay till 6 or 7, or maybe you know, people that work a night shift and are just getting there, you know, to be able to 4 o'clock have a game on is really, really cool. And then you even think, you know, we're so focused on Central Time and what's happening here. I mean, think about on the West Coast in California, it's 2:30 and they're getting ready to have real.
They never work
anyway. Well, that's a great point there, Brett. But no, I like this idea.
But it would take an Eastern game. It would take
absolutely. No,
and so this is about an hour and a half earlier than they normally would have it. And I'm sure downtown Indianapolis rocking. Milwaukee better be careful.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I mean, we've seen this Pacers team in the last game played really well, got the win, and you know, without Giannis, I think I saw we were kind of wondering if Middleton would play. Talking with Bruce just a second ago, they just threw it up on ESPN that he's going to be available tonight. I don't know in terms of how much he'll play, but you know, with how banged up this Bucks team is, definitely. I mean, I think they're starting to be on an upset watch.
Yeah, I picked Indiana. I didn't feel great about it when I did. I don't even now. 1-1. They really need this one to get the advantage. Clippers and Mavericks. Everybody had that one circled as the one to maybe be the best series in the first round. And can we trust the Clippers? Alan Bell was talking about how much he can't. Who can?
Yeah.
Well, who really ever has a good handle on?
That's a great question, because I mean, you really never know what to expect. I mean, I remember earlier this season after that trade happened to get James Harden, everyone was going, "Oh man, look at how good this Clippers team is going to be," and they go out there and it, you know, it feels like they forgot how to win games. And then they're able to figure it out and they go on that really long winning streak where they were playing really, really good basketball. And so, you know, it's hard to trust them. It's hard to know what to expect. And then on the bigger fact of it is they're going up against a really good Dallas Mavericks team that's led by a really good player in Luka Doncic, a really good player in Kyrie Irving. And kind of on the flip side of that, it kind of comes down to, can you trust the Mavericks defense, which has been a big question mark for that team all season long.
Who's the next guy? Everybody knows Doncic and Kyrie. Who's the next guy for Dallas?
Watching game two, I really liked what P.J. Washington was doing as kind of a two-way guy that, you know, was given a lot defensively, but also, you know, really helping out on the offensive end of the court as well. I think finished in double figures, had a good night. Maybe him. I know Maxi, what he's been doing, Maxi Kleber, who has played well, has battled some injuries. He's a guy that they're really going to rely on. But I think PJ Washington, if he can come out, have a good game. He had 18 points last time. I'm not saying he needs to come out and have 18 points every game, but I think if you can get him 12, 13 points, good defense like he's been giving you, I think that's your third guy right there.
Tyronn Lue better win this series.
I think he really needs to. Or we're going to have a lot of really tough questions for him.
Jeannie Boss says, no changes. Darvin Ham is going to be back next year. They get swept and go out ingloriously. I don't know that I buy that.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it was kind of weird how early they wanted to come out and kind of get in front of that and put that out that he was going to be back. But I think you're right. I mean, it's very clear that the Nuggets, have got something, a hold on the Lakers.
Well, they got a hold on a lot of people.
Sure. And
but
so,
the Lakers just aren't ever used to being held.
Right. And that's a good point. And so, it's kind of unfortunate that they had to see the Nuggets again. But, again, I mean, who would have thought that the Lakers would be right back in here in the play-in? I think if you hold the Lakers to that high standard, I think Jeannie Buss and a lot of people in L.A. do, I don't know if just making the play-in is good enough to keep a coach around. So, yeah, I was kind of surprised when I heard that news.
Minnesota can take full control if they go up 3-0. But tomorrow night, big Saturday night TV audience for Nuggets and Lakers for the brooms out for Denver.
Yeah, and I mentioned it earlier. I mean, I really thought last night flipped it over during the draft, and Lakers had a good lead, maybe even a double-digit lead early in that game, maybe early in the second quarter, and I thought, okay, this is what the Lakers need, good start. Now they've just got to keep it and get that win, and you feel good after game three, and then very quickly here come the Nuggets, and just so overpowering. I would not be surprised at all if we get the sweep tomorrow, and then I think there's going to be a lot of difficult conversations with, top to bottom within that organization.
Pelicans host the Thunder. They're down 2-0. Got to win just to have, any hope at all. I don't think they have much, but they would have none down 3-0. That tomorrow afternoon, I've told you, I love those kind of afternoon, early in the playoffs, this weekend and, last weekend, this weekend and next weekend. Mm-hmm. That'd kind of be the end of it as we eliminate teams.
Yeah.
Tickets available in New Orleans. Tickets as low as $14 for that game.
Well, I mean, I guess
for an NBA playoff game.
If you want to go to a playoff game, by all means, tickets available in New Orleans. It's interesting to see you look around. Orlando, $48. Heat, $82. Obviously, L.A., $116 just to get into the door. And then you've got $14 in New Orleans. So
the Zurich Classic's not stealing that much of their crowd.
No, not at all. And I mean, they need to show up tomorrow. New Orleans, Pelicans need to show up. Fans need to show up because game one, I thought, a good showing from them, even though it was a loss. But man, that second game, some of that body language late in that game, and obviously when you're down that much, but they look defeated.
Speaking of the Zurich Classic, I'm calling it now. I think one of us three, we win. John. Not with Higo and Fox.
Did they fall apart to them?
Higo, no, even par. They a tough early start to the day. T25, they're going to make the cut. John's other team was the Højgaard boys. They're not going to make the cut. So he depends on Higo and Fox for the weekend. Leading right now among our picks, I have McIlroy and Lowry.
Right.
They're T1. Tied with Cantlay and Shoffley.
Holy cow.
Those teams are 13 under. There's one two more at 13 under, three more at 13 under.
Holy cow.
And then a whole host of teams at 12 under that includes Taylor and Hadwin for Johnny Hill.
How about that, Johnny? Getting in
Look
there.
Look at you, Johnny.
Getting after it.
Slowly but surely.
And Johnny, I'd be happy to tell you.
Wait, do I get credit for this?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. If you, well, if you
flag the tape, Johnny.
If you're able to pull the win this
weekend, I might
need to
record this moment, Brett.
I definitely give you credit for that. It's not Scotty. I said if it's the first time I
that's
hear somebody
hard.
Picking a golfer that is not Scotty Scheffler and they win, I'll give them credit. Now, this tournament, there are two golfers. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of a team, a little different. So, I need to sleep on it. But as of right now, 4:43 on a Friday afternoon, I'll give you credit. Now, that might change
Johnny,
come Monday.
Bryant's not even giving that doctor that delivers that baby, a Scotty Scheffler's wife, any credit.
No, I mean, Scotty Scheffler.
You see that, Brett? Brett, he judged me harder than I judge him on big number.
Well.
I mean, Johnny, I don't make the rules. I just, you know.
He enforces them.
I enforce them. I dish them
Johnny,
out.
you got a little work to do for Moore and Neesmith, but they could make the cut as well. They're 8 under inside the cut right now with a couple holes left to play. And again today, they showed another big old alligator down there.
Oh, man.
I'd be scared walking around with a pronto pup down there.
I'm with you.
I don't see how they do it, man.
That alligator wants that pronto pup. He can have the whole darn stand.
Yes, he can. I'll go buy him more pronto pups if he
wants. Whatever you need.
Yes, I got my credit card ready. No, but hey, you know, I guess watch the Zurich Classic on your, you know, at your own risk when the Gators are around.
This weekend, let's get down to All-Star Chevrolet and Olive Branch and all drive together. And if you want to get charged up, come down to All-Star, first exit as you pass into Mississippi on Highway 78, first exit Kraft Goodman Road, and you're there and test drive one of the new EV Blazers. It's still Chevy truck season. If you're ready for a new Silverado, they have all the Silverados with financing down to 2.9 for 72 months. Thousands back in trade in cash. New Equinox and Trailblazers, 1.9 financing. No payments for 90 days. Your good credit deserves it. And you get it at All-Star Chevrolet. You want something pre-owned? They have it. Everything you want's there. Ram trucks, Suburban, Jeeps, Tahoe, a Traverse with third row seating. If it's not there, they can get it fast. Ask Kevin or Jeff, and they'll find it for you. Drew DePriest wants everybody to come down and see the lot full like it should be. Military, teachers, college students, healthcare workers, first responders, all get an extra $500 bonus back. Where are you going for graduation, for Mother's Day, that first big summer road trip, a baseball trip, a golf trip? Where are you going? Better yet, what are you driving? You need to be driving something from All-Star Chevrolet. Remember, it's not South Haven. It's not Collierville, not Mount Moriah or Bartlett. It's got to be Olive Branch. Come on down to All-Star Chevy and Olive Branch today or go to allstarautogroup.com.
Well, plenty of people got off early enough to make it down to the Pacers game before tip. A great crowd on hand as that game just got started, and the Pacers strike first in that one, so that's always fun. But let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Be sure to follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ. Now back to sports time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
Well, I could go a couple of different directions with my big number today. And there's plenty of things to do with the NFL draft last night, so I will go with an NFL draft big number, and it's maybe a lazy big number, but I'll do it anyway. 14 for the 14 offensive players that were selected last night before a defensive player. Be quiet.
Not lazy. A fact.
Johnny thought it was lazy. Johnny thought it was lazy.
It was okay.
Do you think low-hanging fruit? I didn't.
I did. But 14.
Brian just walked by and plucked that low-hanging apple right off the tree.
Yes, I did.
Took a big old bite out of it.
And I'm gonna enjoy it. 14 offensive players taken off the board to start the draft. First defensive player taken at number 15 by the Colts. Just unbelievable. I mean, I did not see that coming at all. That might have been the biggest surprise of the draft for me, just seeing that many offensive players going.
That means here comes the defensive guys tonight.
Yep, it's going to be. And there's plenty left available. So I think it's going to be a really fun start of the draft tonight to see where these guys go. And very clearly that you know, a lot of these teams at the top.
Is that the latest it's been 14? Is that the most 14 in draft history?
Yeah. I think.
And it was first time for 1 and 2 to be back-to-back Heisman winners.
Oh, was it really? Wow. Yeah. I don't remember the stat they threw up about the 14, but I think it was like something like it was like doubled by them. I think the last time it was, or the highest like 7 or something like that, or said something it. Like that.
Well, so, we still play defense.
Sure, we do. And so I think you're right. I think a lot of defense. I'm looking right now. The top three guys on ESPN's best available are all defensive guys. And then,
Kool-Aid McKinstry up there, isn't he?
Yeah, Kool-Aid McKinstry, third available on ESPN.
Nick Saban just say he. Flat out, he thought Kool-Aid was better than Terry and Arnold.
Yeah. And back to it, I mean, that's what you're going to get with Nick Saban.
He pulled no punches.
No.
He didn't do it in a rude, crude manner. It was just very matter-of-fact. Mm-hmm. Man, when he was speaking, it was the best ever talking.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it was funny last night. You mentioned Terry and Arnold earlier going to the Lions. And last night when that pick was being made, we were watching Pat McAfee. And they would, you know, they'd be talking about a lot of different things about the draft, you know, best available players, who this team could draft, yada, yada, yada. And the Cowboys were on the clock. And so they're talking about it. And me and Connor sitting there like, okay, where are the Cowboys going to go? And all of a sudden behind them, you see people starting to run toward, because the whole time, you know, it's getting late. People are walking towards the exits. People start running back into the direction of the stage. Connor and I are like, what is going on? And then you can see the stage in the background, and you see it switch from the Cowboys logo to the Lions. And we go, oh, boy, the Lions just moved up. And so they end up taking Terran Arnold, I think, a great pick for them.
I do, too. My big number is 64. 64 drafts for the Minnesota Vikings for as long as they've been a franchise. The highest they've ever taken a quarterback. Number 10 last night, J.J. McCarthy.
Great number, Brett.
He's the highest ever. 11, Dante Culpepper, and he was real good.
Yeah.
Christian Ponder, they took at 12. Tommy Kramer, a great quarterback, record-setting quarterback, they took at 27th and their best quarterback in their franchise history. Sir Francis Tarkington, they took 29th. So they take J.J. McCarthy as high as they've ever taken a quarterback. And you put him with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, and Aaron Jones.
It's a good group of weapons to have.
Look out this year.
Yeah, no.
Great number, Brett.
It is a really good number. And I think there's going to be a lot of excitement around Minnesota, what this young quarterback can do with a lot of
Justin Jefferson's best wide receiver in the game.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Justin Jefferson's incredible. He's a really, really good athlete. So who knows? I mean, we could be talking about a really, really big-time career for J.J. McCarthy. We need to get to a break. I just saw Caitlin Clark in attendance in Indiana for the Pacers and Bucks game. They showed her on ESPN just a second ago. So that's fun. Her kind of, you know, first Pacers game she's been to since she was drafted. But let's go ahead and get to a break. Wrap up our second hour. When we come back, we're going to continue with our talk on the NFL draft. Max Chadwick, he joins us, the college football analyst from Pro Football Focus. He'll talk draft with us. We'll also talk the offseason of college football. We'll do all of that next on Sports Time.